Let's pray. It's Sunday school time. Let us pray. Almighty God, Jehovah, the one that is worthy to be praised and exalted, our Creator and our God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask, O Lord, as we go into the treasure of your word this morning, we ask that you will bless us in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let the life in your word bring out a new life within us in Jesus' name. Renew us, refresh us, that we may be able to stand in your presence, O Lord, worthy and acceptable. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We are still looking at the Divine Commission. And we've been looking at different aspects of the Divine Commission. Last week, we talked about the priestly garment. This week, we are going to continue on the priestly garment, but we are going to talk about the contemporary lessons and the spiritual significance of the priestly garments. We sort of touched on that last week. So this is what we're going to continue today. Looking at the contemporary lessons and the spiritual significance of the priestly garment. Last week we read about the instruction that God gave and regarding the garments that the priests were to wear. They were to have many parts with specific designs and colors and to be made with specific materials. And we said that Moses instructed the people and they did as God directed Moses to do it. So this morning, by the special grace of God, we will continue along that line, looking at the lessons we can learn from the kind of obedience that Moses demonstrated. You will notice that the different segments are posed as questions, and then we have answers following when we look at our bulletin. So I want us to open our Bibles to Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. We're going to read verse 1 to 4. The book of Zechariah, chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 to 4.
Then the angel showed me Jeshua at the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Jeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Israel rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Jeshua's feeling was guilty as he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the other standing there, take his guilty cloak. And turning to Jeshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I'm giving you this kind.
Amen. Maybe I'll just read from this version. He said, then the guiding angel showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to be his adversary and to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord who now and habitually chooses Jerusalem and rebuke you. Is not this returned captive Joshua, a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel of the Lord. And he spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said to Joshua, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with rich apparel. That is one of the readings this morning. Take note of that. And then, let's look at Psalm 132. We're going to read verse 9 and verse 16. Praise the Lord. Let thy priest be clothed with what? With righteousness. And let thy saints shout for joy. Verse 16. Praise the Lord. And then clothe her priest with what? Salvation. So there's salvation, there's righteousness. Okay. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. The fine linen is what? Is the righteousness of saints. You remember last week, part of the apparel of the priest was to be made of linen. And the Bible is now telling us that our own linen is what? Is righteousness. So we are to be clothed with what? With righteousness. Then Hebrews chapter 9 verse 6 and 7. Hebrews 9, 6 and 7.
When these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the threshold as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. He always offered blood for his own sins, and for the sins of the people that had committed.
Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to take a note at some of the things we have read. Starting from Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. The Bible made us to understand that the high priest, Joshua, was standing before an angel of the Lord. Something happened. He probably did not see himself the way God saw him. The first thing was that the Bible said that he had very dirty, soiled, impure apparel. It is important. I pray God will open our understanding that we will see ourselves the way God sees us. In other words, you and I that God has called to be able to stand before God, we need to stand in righteousness. It is not our own righteousness, because let me put it this way. The Bible says the best of the works of our hands is like a filthy rag. Okay. So, is the righteousness of Jesus imputed unto us? And we have to make sure that we do not stray away from it. So every high priest, everyone that God has called and anointed, must come to him in righteousness and in what? In truth. So, the other lesson there is this. Is that people may actually see us minister before the Lord. What God looks at is quite different from what man sees. At the spiritual realm, it was seen that the high priest Joshua was wearing something filthy. So when God looks at you and I, what will God see? We say, so we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be thy name. You know, and God is looking at us like he was looking at Joshua at individual level. And is he really saying holy hands? You see, it's a very, very personal relationship with God. It's a very, very personal what? Relationship. Because he sees at that level. That was the level at which he was seeing Joshua. Even though it may not be visible. Because if the people had known that the garment he was wearing had been soiled, they probably would not have allowed him to go into the Holy of Holies. They didn't see. So he went as usual. As the high priest, he went there. But what God saw was different. When God sees you, when he looks at you and I this morning, he will see the glory of Jesus. He will see the righteousness of Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. He saw the righteousness of Jesus when he looks at you and I. He will see the righteousness of Jesus. So, but when he looked at the high priest, he knew that something was wrong. Now, the other thing that I want us to take note of again was the fact that the enemy takes advantage when we are not in right standing with God. What did the Bible say in Zechariah? He said that the devil was standing, Satan was standing at the right hand of Joshua. He knows when we are not living right. He knows what? When we are not living right. The Bible says he's the accuser of brethren. And he knows God, that God does not compromise his standards. So he will go there and say to God, but you say you do not behold iniquities. There's no darkness in you at all. But this is dark. This is filthy. This is not worthy. Can't you see that the garment he's wearing is stained? Can't you see that there's something wrong? He's the accuser of what? Of the brethren. So in other words, he takes advantage of us when we are not standing right. So he was there to take advantage of Joshua. No wonder. No wonder. A lot of times we howl and pray and we don't get answers. Because the enemy will take advantage when he knows we are not standing right. Let me just, the same Zechariah chapter 3, we read from 1 to 4. We are going to read a bit further just for you to see what I'm talking about. You remember in verse 4, God said that they should take the cloth away, the soiled garment away from Joshua and clothe him with a new garment, right? Good. He now goes, verse 5. And Zechariah said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with rich garment. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly and earnestly protested and affirmed to Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then also you shall rule my house and have charge." So in other words, once we are clothed with righteousness, what happens? We begin to rule. We begin to take charge of life situations and circumstances. We become people of power. We become people of relevance in the kingdom. So, in other words, the level of spiritual power we demonstrate or that becomes manifest in our lives depends on the level of our obedience to God. It depends on the level of our right standing with God. That is what the angel of the Lord told Joshua here. You and I, we are the Joshua of this generation. We are the Joshua of today. And God is speaking to you and I. And he's saying, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then also you will rule my house and have charge of my courts. I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among these who stand here. What a wonderful privilege to have access to the presence of God. To have what? Access to the presence of God. So, which means before that time, even though Joshua was ministering before the people, he did not have access to the presence of God. You remember I told you, people saw him going and coming, going to the Holy of Holies, but he never really got to the presence of God. But God says, when you walk in my statutes and do these things, you will have access to my presence. The presence of God will go with you today in Jesus' name. The priestly garment. So, I'm going to quickly read through this because I'm sure, we can all read it. As we read in Psalm 132, verse 9 says, it said, the priest of the Lord will be clothed with what? With salvation. He'll be clothed with what? With righteousness. If we are going to be to get to the presence of God, this has to be our garment. He said the priestly garment had deep spiritual significance for believers in Christ. They were clothes for service to minister in the holy place. Just as the priest was not permitted to minister in the holy place wearing his own personal dress, those who will minister before God as believer priests in this dispensation of grace must remove their personal garment of self-righteousness and put on the garment of righteousness that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. One of the sisters was sharing a testimony with me this morning of how she ministered to a family, and the people concerned who happened to be Jews said to her, he said, don't you know we are Jews? And secondly, we've been doing good. We do good, we do what is right, we do this, we do that. That is self-righteousness. There's often an expression. People, and I think we misuse it a lot. People say somebody has fallen out of grace. You will understand it when you go to Galatians and you read. What it actually means is when you begin to impute righteousness to yourself as a result of your own work, that is when you fall out of grace. So, that is the Bible is telling us, as we are being told this morning, that we need the grace of Jesus to cover us. All our self-righteousness are as filthy rags before God. Isaiah 64 verse 6. Trusting in our own righteousness to stand before God is like Joshua the high priest standing before God in filthy garment. Zechariah chapter 3, 1 to 4. Therefore, the priestly garments convey the message that the one who will minister in the holy things of God must first be clothed by him by getting saved through faith in Christ. That is Psalm 132 verse 16. Salvation. 2. The garment portrays the uniqueness of the priesthood. They also distinguish the priest of God from false prophets and idol priests of other nations. In the same manner as believers, our spiritual clothes should distinguish us from those who do not know the Lord. Do we use worldly methods? Do we do things just like the world would do it? What is it that God can see in us that will make, that will distinguish us from the world, that will mark us out as those, as one of those that God has redeemed for himself? 3. The mitre of the high priest bore the inscription, "Holiness unto the Lord." This was an indication that the priests were a separated and consecrated people unto God. Believers are to be separated, holy, and wholly yielded to the Lord. 4. The robe signified the sanctity and gravity of drawing near to God. They reminded the priests and all Israelites of the necessity of chastity, that is purity, and awe in drawing close to God. 5. The white robe signified the purity and righteousness that should characterize every true believer in Christ. Psalm 132, verse 9, that we read. Those who belong to Christ are made priests unto God. That's Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, that we read. 6. The priestly garment set forth the high priest as a type of Jesus, our perfect and great priest. He bears our names before the Father and always secures for us the mercy and favor we need to qualify us for fellowship with him, both now and in eternity. Just look at this. How God expects us to be in his presence, even in this dispensation. God's requirement for us from of old has not changed. What has changed is the method of meeting his requirement. What has changed is what? Is the method of by which we meet his requirement. And what has made the difference is the presence of Jesus in our lives. That is what's different. The requirement of God is still the same. When he says holiness, holiness is still holiness. When he says righteousness, righteousness is still righteousness. He has not changed his values. However, there are spiritual virtues and qualities which are required if we are going to be in the service of the Lord. And these are things we must put on. We must be clothed with salvation. And of course, righteousness. So God clothes her priest with salvation. That's 132 verse 16. And we are to be clothed with the beautiful garment of righteous living. Isaiah 52, 1. Revelation 19, verse 8. We are also to put on, as in Colossians 3, 12 to 14 says, bowels of mercies, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, and all those things. that are required of us. Let's open to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. I will read. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another, and if one has a difference, a grievance, or complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. And above all this, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. That is the garment that God is expecting you and I to wear. We have talked about the completion of the tabernacle before. We have talked about the completion of the tabernacle. And if I remember very well, one of the things that we learned was that, remember, this is the part of the divine commission, you know, what the priests were to wear. Everything was done in toto. Everything was done as God prescribed. So it was a prescription. Now, like I said, they did everything as God wanted it to be done. So they brought it into completion. And one of the things we learned before is that, let's look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9. Is that when God gives us a commission, when God gives us something to do, he does not want us to do it halfway and abandon it. He wants us to do it and do what? And finish it. Not only finish it, he wants us to do it very, very well. Zechariah chapter 4. Verse 9. He wants us to do it. How does he want us to do it? Very, very well. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. So the hand of Zerubbabel that laid the foundation was to be the hand that will finish it. So God, when God sends you on something to do, you are not supposed to abandon it midway. We have to make sure it is well done. Praise the Lord. Let's look at John chapter 4, verse 34. Somebody to read John 4, 34 for me, please.
Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work."
Praise the Lord. And to do what? And to accomplish. A job that is not finished cannot be said to be accomplished. Except, of course, if you are only given a portion of it to do. A job is said to be accomplished when you have finished your own portion. Right? So Jesus himself made sure that he finished what he was sent to do. And you and I have to finish whatever God has asked you and I to do. Paul did the same thing. When he was giving his goodbye message to the ministers at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. If we look at a few of the verses there, let's look at a few of the verses there. I think verse 20. Okay. Let me just read from a bit from verse 17 there. No, I will take 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. That's one. And then, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither can't I my life dare unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So that he will do what? He might finish his ministry. When God gives you a ministry, when God gives you something to do, you must make sure that you do what? You finish it. And verse 27, I like that. I have not shunned to declare unto you. Let's read with me. Read with me, verse 27. Acts 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you what? All the counsel of God. So that he did everything. None was done halfway. For example, so as children of God, when God sends us to people, will we declare all the counsel of God to them? So it is very important that we declare all the counsel. All the counsel. Can we say all? All the counsel. All the counsel of God. He said, I've declared to you all the counsel. Both the good and the one we don't find palatable. He said, I've declared what? All the counsel of God. You know? That was when Paul was finishing his ministry and he spoke to those pastors and said, look, I've not held anything back. And God expects us to do everything. You and I, we are the Pauls of this dispensation to declare all the counsel of God. All. You see, when it comes to blessings, if he says, I'll bless you with all blessings, we like to say that. We emphasize the all. The same way we need to emphasize this one, that he says, I've declared to you all the counsel, and you and I, we are the one who have taken the place of Paul to declare what? All the counsel of God. Wherever we are, we declare all the counsel of God. Because we are the priests of this time. We are the prophets, we are the one God has called to do the work this time. Praise the Lord. Do we have any questions? Contributions? Contemporary lessons and the spiritual significance of the priestly garments. That's what we talked about this morning. Okay. Our prayer point is going to be taken from Psalm 132, verse 9 and 16. The Bible says he closed his praise with what? With salvation in verse 16. And in verse 9 it says he closed him with what? With righteousness. So we are going to pray this morning. we are going to ask God to clothe us with salvation and righteousness. That's what he does to his priests. He's not saying outsiders. Remember, he's not saying outsiders. He says his priests. So people who are already called by the Lord, he clothes them with salvation and with righteousness. So can we just rise on our feet this morning as we pray? Just